Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, strike up the band because our orchestra is playing his song. Here he is for the first show of 2024 from Vincini Distributing, beer since 1933, Eugene. And even his mother used to say, Eugene! Mr. Rubicki is back in the studio at KDK Radio. So let me say to you and everybody at Vincini, Happy New Year, sir.
And Happy New Year to you and yours.
Thank you.
It's good to be here.
Is there someone still there?
Whole nother year.
Yes. Yeah. It is hard to believe, isn't it? 2024.
Yes.
Where did time go?
Tempus fugit.
A circle is round, still water run deep. We're into all sorts of good things. Did you bring anything to eat?
No. There's generally a 3-drink minimum before we start getting too heavy.
This is going to be a really unique show.
Yes, it is.
I'm very excited about it. I'm learning always something new whenever you're in the building and in the beer garden.
Well, here's something new. Pittsburgh was recently determined to be the drunkest city in Pennsylvania. Did you hear anything about that?
No, I did not.
They conducted multiple surveys, looked at what people searched for, et cetera, and determined that we are the drunkest city in Pennsylvania. So in response to that, here in the beer garden, right now, we're going to cut into some of the inebriation. We're going to have some crafted non-alcoholic beers.
Awesome.
And I have a friend here in the studio, so there's a witness, so don't try anything too funny, Rob.
I will not.
We have Mel Babbitts, founder, owner, proprietress of the Open Roads Bar up in the Allentown neighborhood. Hello, Mel.
Hi. Thanks for having me today.
I'm glad you're here. It's great that you're here. It's awesome.
I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited that you're excited, and I can barely contain my excitement. We're going to get cracking momentarily. So first, I'm thinking about the first time I ever met you. It was at the Open Roads Bar.
The Open Road.
The Open Road Bar. Singular.
Store.
Store bar. Yeah. And I had a lot of questions about non-alcoholic beverages, and you had a lot of non-alcoholic beverages.
And a lot of answers about them.
And answers, and we're going to get to that. And I'll just lob them and you swat them down.
Yeah, great.
The whole night.
Great.
So why would somebody choose a non-alcoholic beverage?
Ooh, so many reasons why someone would choose a non-alcoholic. Maybe they can't digest alcohol, like me. Maybe they are on antibiotics for something, or some other medication that contraindicates with alcohol, or any medical thing. Maybe they're alternating, and they're just trying to pace themselves. They want to hang out longer, but they don't want to get too drunk. Maybe they are pregnant, or something else.
Designated driver.
Absolutely.
Still want to be seen at a party holding a beer.
Yep.
Fortunately.
Young kids.
Young kids.
Old kids. Responsibilities.
Young adults.
Yeah. All kinds of reasons.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Rob. We were trying to answer Rob's questions before the show began.
Well, here's why I find it fascinating. Look, I love the bar business. I do. It's a gathering place. It's cheers. It's more than just drink. To me, it's food. It's friendship. It's camaraderie. And if you can do that and do it with a non-alcoholic beverage, I'm all in.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a lovely segue. Perhaps we should say hello to our guest.
Yes, go right ahead. He's here.
Hey, Rob, my apologies. I can't hear Eugene. I can barely hear him.
Well, he leaned away from the microphone. That's why. You should be able to hear him just fine now.
Okay.
Go ahead, Gene.
Can you hear me now, Phil?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
We have Brandis or Brand? Brandis. Philip Brandis, founder and CEO of Bravis Brewing Company, the oldest non-alcoholic craft brewery in North America.
They wrote the book. Wow. That's a heavyweight guest.
How's the weather in Anaheim?
It is good. I spent some time over the holidays in a balmy 10 degrees in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So happy to be back.
All right. Yeah, we're approaching that, but we're not quite at 10 here in Pittsburgh.
So he's in Anaheim.
Anaheim, California.
Have they gotten over Ohtani going to the Dodgers? Yeah, but I'll tell you, they got a good manager, Mr. Washington. I am excited about that. And you still have Mike Trout, but I wish Ohtani would have stayed right where he was.
Yep. I hear you.
All right, Mr. Rybnicki is digging into a chest of ice to come up with our first selection tonight. So if you will, sir, do the honors.
And we're live.
We're off and running. Post time.
Phil, by sound, can you tell which beer I cracked first?
Come
I'm
on.
Good, but not that good, Eugene. Sorry.
Don't put the man on the spot like that.
Blood orange, maybe?
We're going to go blonde first.
I wish you were right.
You know, for the sake of those listening at home who can't see, that's exactly what we opened first.
Oh, I got to put up with this every month, Phil.
Oh, geez. I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that.
He's on the clock, Phil.
That's okay. You know what? This is really going to be awesome. I will come around. You guys do what you're doing.
I'm going to let you because I'm all wired in here.
And you got to keep the show moving because this is radio. You have to talk.
Beer number one is Bravas Brewing Company Golden Light. We're about to everybody have some and sample it.
Yeah, awesome.
And thank you very much, you guys. Pete, you had
cheers.
You had Pete send me some of the freshest Bravas known to man.
Good.
That is good. That's very.
Hey, no spoilers.
I couldn't help it. I didn't wait for the toast. I just started drinking. That's good.
Yeah, thanks. So
delicious.
Yeah, Golden Light was it's actually our newest style. In response to what some consider the main driver for non-alc, and that's health and wellness. Used to be, skewing a little bit older, where health was a concern, was more along the lines of doctors said, Jim, look. I love you, but if you have another alcoholic beer, this will be the last thing you do on this planet. So, but now it's sort of skewed a little bit younger, and people are more mindful about health and wellness, meaning, fitness and calories and things like that. So this was our answer to a light beer, about 65 calories. Just a sort of a blonde type style, love golden, kind of modeled a little bit after, Kona's Big Wave beer, which I love. So that's our golden.
So now what led you into the world of non-alcoholic beer and brewing?
Well, I was doing something that was probably the farthest away from making beer, and that was making software code. So I started in this life as a computer developer, software developer, and was watching a few people, my brother, my friends, having the time of my life, time of their life, while I was sitting behind a computer screen at odd hours by myself making code. So I decided it was time for a change because they were just having way too much fun. And my brother would tell me a lot about all the, all the fun beers he was having. And at the same time, I had a friend who actually was a home brewer, and he was a home brewer way back in high school. And I remember vividly going over to his house, and he was brewing up something, that smell of fermentation in his closet. And I'm like, what the heck is this? It's an IPA. I'm like, an IP what? And took a sip, spit it out, thought it was the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted, and told him, look, when you can make something like a Bud Light, let me know. And of course, many, many years later, when craft beer became a thing, and he kept with it. And when we got started, essentially he was the catalyst. He was loving, back in, 14, 15, these double IPAs, triple IPAs, imperial stouts. Brewers were very focused on trying to squeeze as much booze as they could into a beer. And I think for me, beer had always been about drinking them cold, drinking them fast, drinking a lot of them. But here you go, and with, 15, 18, 20, 22% monstrosities. And unfortunately, he developed a problem, and his family approached him one day. His wife said, look, it's either me or the beer. And for a young guy, that's a tough decision. I think he took some time to think about that, but chose wisely, gave up the beer, and went sober. Unfortunately, he was faced with the options that were around. I won't name any names, but I do remember him, we would go to a bar or restaurant. He would whisper to the waiter because, again, didn't want really people to know. but he would whisper, "Hey, can I have an NA beer?" And even when the beer came to the table, he would actually turn the bottle around with the label facing him to take a sip. He just didn't want anyone to know he was drinking a non-alc beer. And then, of course, when he did take a sip, you could just see that look in his face. You could see him missing a nice, fully alcoholic IPA or stout. And so I decided at that time, look, I'm going to do something for him, and made him a deal. You teach me how to homebrew, I'm going to come up with a non-alc IPA. And funny enough, I literally put an ad out in the paper, microbiologist needed, must love beer. Because, you know, look, I'd taken a sip of those NA beers that he had and realized very early on that if we were going to make a go out of it, we had to change the liquid.
All right. We're going to have to go to commercial and or break and or weather and or traffic. And we'll be right back with Philip Brandis and Mel Babbitts. And we're going to talk some more NA. Otherwise, that was an awesome story. I can't wait to hear some more.
In the Beer Garden continues with Gene Rybnicki on KDK. Vincini distributing beer since 1933. As we return to In the Beer Garden, here's your host, Gene Rybnicki, Vincini distributing. Gene.
Hey, it's great to be back here in the beer garden, albeit dry. So far, so tasty. And Philip. Are you there, Philip?
Yep, I'm here.
Excellent. Next question is, well, next beer I'm about to open is the Blood Orange IPA. And the next question is, how do you go about removing alcohol, de-alcoholizing, or not having alcohol in this beer?
Yeah, great question. So, when we looked at all the available NA beer at the time, we realized early on that removal was just not in the cards for us because that's how it was historically. And I could just taste, I think most people can just taste an alcohol remove, whether it's through distillation, whether it's through, you know, reverse osmosis or filtration. We didn't want to do it that way. And so spent about a year with the help of a very smart molecular biologist who loved craft beer as well. And we developed this process, made a lot of pretty bad beer in the name of science, but eventually stumbled upon a really great process that allowed us to make really flavorful and approachable any beer. And what's cool about it, too, is we can use it for other sorts of non-alc beverages as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. When I started working in Dock Street Brewery in the early 90s, and we had
to live across the street from Dock Street Brewery.
Whoa, we have more stuff to talk about. And I got the brewer was a master brewer from imported from England. Gave us a brewery tour. We had O'Doul's behind the bar. And we get to the end of the tour. I said, hey, how come we don't make our own non-alcoholic beer? And he gave me the long answer because he was good like that because he's a brewer. And, you know, you have friends who are brewers, and once they get talking about beer, they don't really stop. But it shut me up because it's harder, more expensive, more time-consuming to make non-alcoholic beer than to make beer.
That I did know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're going to mess around and experiment for a year or so right. And find your own method.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's you know, my wife at the time when I got to the IPA, my wife said, look, and she's an accountant, so there you go. But she's like, look, if you don't start a company and write this stuff off, then that's it for us too. So anyway, so here we are. But yeah, look, I think for us, again, and teach his own, but removal was just not something we wanted to do. Now, it's not hard to make a non-alcoholic beer. It's hard to keep it non-alcoholic. That's the trick.
Right. So do you not mess around with yeast at all?
Oh, no, we do. We do. Yeah, that's really the reason for the molecular biologist. We wanted to really look at the fermentation process. And sort of approach the whole whole brewing process really as a whole and change it up a bit through technology. And, yeah, it's, it's definitely yeast driven, but there's, I mean, a couple hundred other things that we have to do as well.
Right. So, I mean, this is a light, looks like a California IPA to the eye. It's obviously effervescent. It has just enough of a thread of blood orange where it's still beer first. I'm getting the hops as well.
Effervescence is the key, though.
Yeah, that's the difference between beer and...
It's good.
Still.
That's my favorite so far.
All right.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Blood Orange is one of our favorites. It's probably our best seller right now as well. So, but you're right. The trick is to get all the aspects that you can of a beer into it. And then with a lot of styles, I mean, it's really a driver for the styles we pick is sometimes you just don't even really notice. Now, double IPA, triple, you know, of course, but good old fashioned 5%. It's going to be hard to notice that this is non-alcoholic.
Have you tried to make Imperial double non-alcoholics?
I made a non-alcoholic hard seltzer. That's about it. So.
I have a major company's non-alcoholic hard seltzer coming to the store tomorrow that I am intrigued and mostly just find hilarious.
Conceptually.
But Bravis does make sort of a style that you wouldn't usually find in non-alc, which is a barrel-aged, bourbon barrel-aged stout they do every year. It's super limited release, and it usually sells out in, let's say, hours now. But that's only because they make more of it. It used to be in minutes.
We're at 45 minutes now, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a brewery exclusive?
It is. It's through online DTC only.
Yeah. It sells out so fast every year. It's like a collector's item. It is a collector's item.
Well, and I like barrel-aged things in general, so that would definitely strike a chord with me, without a doubt.
I've never been quick enough to get it.
Just send an email. We'll make it happen. I know someone.
Maybe we could talk. You got a guy.
Yeah. I know, right? We've only worked together for 4 years.
And we're ready for another break. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Mel.
I could use a break. It's been a long day, so I think I'll have another one of these during the break.
There you go.
All right. Gene Remicki, how long have you been doing the beer thing? 19?
In general?
No. Vincini.
For Vincini Distributing Company, beer since 1933?
I just wanted you to say that.
There you go.
All right. We'll be back. More in the beer garden right after a quick break. And Mr. Alexander checks that news at 7:30. It's your Pratt Pack tonight on KDK Radio. Here we go, segment number 3, and NA number 3 coming up in just moments, but the host of In the Beer Garden, Vincini Distributing Beer since 1933, Gene Remicki. Gene.
Rob, we're going to start this segment with a plug for our guest host tonight, Mel. What do you have to say? Are you busy?
Yeah.
The NA world?
Yeah, it's a busy time in the NA world, yeah. Some might call it dry January. I might call it insanity.
I'm still
by which I just mean my own personal time is completely taken right now.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your not personal time with us here this evening.
I'm very happy to be here.
And you are the oldest running, and are you still the largest purveyor of non-alcoholic?
I don't know claims on largest, by which I assume you mean inventory breadth, not size of
or
my
scope
store or something. But anywho, we are the oldest. The Open Road is the oldest non-alc specialty retailer in the country. And our other guest, Philip, is for Bravis Brewing, which is the oldest non-alc brewery in the country. So I just think this is a fun combination. And Bravis and one of the beers that we'll be talking about later was on my original launching event menu four years ago.
I'm going to one-up you.
Okay.
You're not used to that. KDKA, the radio station we're on, is the oldest commercial radio station on the planet.
Amazing.
And I'm the oldest host here. don't even go there.
I wasn't going there. You went there. And Vincini Distributing Company is the oldest wholesaler of beer in Western Pennsylvania.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
This is a good combo.
It's all about the numbers.
How can I not feel young?
Listen, I feel young. Especially when I hear that and it's an NA, and I can drive home tonight.
Yeah, we can go nuts. All right, next beer is a West Coast IPA.
In honor of our guest from Anaheim. Tonight.
From the West Coast. Not a West Coast style. You know the difference between a West Coast IPA and a West Coast style IPA?
I do not.
One's not made on the West Coast.
That would make it a difference.
Am I right, Phil?
Hey, I wouldn't say West Coast or the best coast, but anyway, yeah.
I don't think I've had this much fun in a long time.
We're not actually on a coast where we are right now. When
the Ohio River, that's kind of Monongahela, Yakima, yeah. They've got coastlines.
I guess we are on some kind of coast. It's just not the same.
You never thought, Mel, you'd get this kind of entertainment at KDK radio tonight, did you? When you were coming into the beer garden, did you ever anticipate so much fun?
I didn't know.
I have this over here for you. And we're going to toast to this West Coast IPA.
Yeah, that was our first baby there. Funny story, the first time we tried to make an NA, we thought...
All the time. It's radio. You have to talk.
Oh, Phil's talking.
Oh, he's talking. I'd have my headphones on. I'm like, nobody's talking here. Hey, maybe you come over and get a beer, Phil, so that's why I didn't hear you talking.
No, sorry about that, yeah. So I was saying the first time, what do we know about making an NA beer? We tried to... We poured a bunch of Pliny the Elder into a pan and tried to burn off the alcohol. So you can imagine what happened there. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Not a West Coast IPA anymore, but yeah, that was our first few. It's evolved. I think, as other, every brew, we need like 10 IPAs to make everyone happy, because if we put too many hops in, then, the people who aren't really used to IPAs start to complain. If we don't put enough, then all the hop heads like myself start to complain. So this one's really middle of the road with IBUs. Probably comes in, 50 or 60, depends. But, Simcoe and a little bit of Amarillo and... That makes a pretty good combination for us.
The nose is totally there. And maybe on the left coast, they call them hopheads. But here in Pennsylvania, we prefer to be called lupophiles.
Lupophiles.
I have not heard that one.
Lovers of the... You could also like wolves. I think those are also lupophiles. But lovers of the Humulus lupulus plant.
Oh, okay.
It's a little elevated.
I honestly can't tell the difference. I mean, I know because I'm still upright, because usually by this time in the show, I need a designated driver to get out of here. But honestly, this tastes like the real stuff. I mean, there's no difference. I mean, it's got the same kind of flavor, savor.
There's a difference in viscosity only.
Well, explain what you mean other than the
different
word.
Different mouthfeel.
Okay. Yeah. Ever
so slightly different mouthfeel.
But I believe, Mel and Phil, that you can acquire a taste for this. Your mind can work.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
The
Absolutely.
Taste is totally there.
Yeah.
But as somebody who's worked in a brewery for 30-something years, I could just feel the difference.
Well, you're the professional, and I get
that's that. Why I'm on this side of the microphone.
Exactly. Right. So, Phil, what were you going to say, sir?
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, yeah, body's a tough one for NA. We can do that with our barrel age, but for some of our ales it's always difficult. Although I will say that, again, given that health and wellness is the big driver, like we like having our beers like kind of crisp and light. And so I think some of the more modern versions of the style, are a little bit lighter and a little bit crisper and less body. You can drink. We'll get into our stouts later, but we're like the only ones that have a stout during the summer months at festivals, and people line up for them because no one else dares pour a thick, boozy stout during the summer months. But yeah,
as a hop delivery unit, this is a exemplar. This is excellent. I'm getting all the hops. I like hops.
Thank you.
It's just as satisfying, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not like looking over my shoulder wondering if I'm going to be able to get behind the wheel or call a taxi. I mean, I it's good, man. It really is.
Yep.
It opened my eyes and palate up. I never knew this stuff was really out there that was that good, because you just think of some of that name that you mentioned earlier as the only one. I'm learning about all this stuff that I didn't even know existed.
And there were three, and it was really just to check a box. Every restaurant had one of them, and it collected dust on the bottom shelf. Part of my job is walking in and out of distributors and, you know, right by the counter, right underneath collecting dust, you could find like Odol's or Caliber was the other one. And now all of their sections have grown. They all have non-alcoholic sections and they're bigger than they were a year ago. So you guys are on to something. I don't know if you knew that.
Thank you. Getting there.
And I'll be honest, I'm all about packaging. That's what kind of attracts me to it. Even though I don't drink the IPAs, it's just too high octane for me because I'm not that much of a drinker per se. But this stuff, it's got the look. You kind of got that cool feel to it, and it tastes good, and you're safe. So it's a win-win all the way around.
Yeah. Rob, you kind of hit it right on the head there. It's half the battle is just putting something in your hand or in your glass that's cold, tastes like a beer, looks like a beer, you know, doesn't give you that buzz. Although, funny story, you know, a big part of our drinkers swear they get a buzz from our IPA. I think it's the hops, you know, the hops without alcohol, right? Hops is a sort of a distant cousin or close cousin of cannabis. And so, I don't know, people tend to get a little, they feel something. We're testing, we know there's no alcohol, but or I should say it's non-alcoholic, but yeah.
But the benefits of the, I guess you could say like aromatherapy sort of direction of the terpenes that are present in both the hops or the cannabis, either way, or other, all kinds of botanicals, those do have properties that are relaxing, and hops are specifically one of those that is, you know, been used since old medicine.
Well, and actually why it was chosen in Germany in 1512 as one of the three ingredients of beer. Why it beat out other potential spices was because some of those properties it had.
Yep.
1516.
No kidding.
Sorry.
Sure.
That's okay. I was off 4 years.
I was going to mention what Phil said just moments ago, but I thought if I say that, Renicki's going to say this guy's off his rocker. But I'm telling you, there's something, man. I feel pretty good right now. You guys can stay till 10 o'clock if you want.
Nice.
No more last
She's got
call.
Stuff to do.
I know. I mean, Post-Gazette this month, the Trib, Interview TV, KD. I mean, so people know, and they know where to go. What you're doing there in Little Allentown.
They're getting to know.
That's great.
What is the address of the open road?
We're at 600 East Warrington Ave in the Allentown neighborhood here in Pittsburgh.
What are your hours?
We are open 7 days a week from 11 to 8 Tuesday through Saturday and 11 to 6 Sunday and Monday.
Have you ever said those words in that order before?
Do you think I have?
I'm under the impression you have.
Listen, I like Little Allentown. That's a cool part of Pittsburgh, man. They still got the trolley tracks there, too.
Man.
We do have the tracks, just not
man.
The trolley.
No, but that's cool. I like it. So what do you say we strike up the band here, Mr. Rybnicki?
Get ready for it. We'll come back for our grand finale.
Grand finale. Do I get one more of these before you go?
Thanks, Phil. I'm going to give you some stuff for the road.
Nice.
The open road, that is.
There you go. I may show up at her place someday just to check it out.
Gene with Vicini distributing Odin beer since 1933.
One more segment in the beer garden. He'll be back in February, but tonight, on this January night, it's N.A., the topic of conversation. And here he is, Vincini distributing beer since 1933, Gene Rybnicki. Gene.
Hey, it's great to be back here in the beer garden with Mel Babbitts, you, Rob. And
it's good to be here. You've opened my palate up to something that I never knew existed. Phil, to get him here.
Phil Brandis on the phone.
Fantastic. And to have Mel here, neighbor.
My boss wouldn't pay for us to do the episode live from Anaheim.
Oh, poor. Shame.
Listen, I would have been requesting to be your security to go out to Anaheim. We could have went to Disney World. Could have had fun.
We could have eaten tacos.
Could have been warm.
Yes.
We could have gotten Trejo's tacos.
Oh,
Danny Trejo, yeah. Famously sober, released non-alc spirits this year, or last year, 23.
You always have to take it back to the topic at hand, don't you, Mel?
What? Yeah, got it.
Well played, madame. Have you had any of Danny Trejo's tacos?
I have not had Danny
Are they
Trejo's
good?
Tacos.
They're like mouth-watering good, I bet, huh?
But Phil, I have had Philip? His non-alc tequila.
No, I've had his beer. They actually approached us, I think, earlier this year, maybe last year, to do some contract brewing for them. But
that'd be awesome.
Neat guy. He was at a show, and met him briefly, and what an amazing story, for sure.
What's your barrel? What's your capacity? Like, what kind of system are you running on?
We got a 30-barrel, three-vessel system. I don't know. We can probably squeeze out, like, 25,000 barrels. If everyone's running downhill, we could squeeze it. And we, with the process, too, we can expand and have expanded at some point during crush, dry January, and to local breweries to produce and then finish at our brewery. So.
Oh, nice. I'm going to get crack-a-lackin' over here. The last beer. Last, but by no means least.
Sounds like peanut butter.
it's pre-peanut. It's without peanut butter. My sources tell me this might be the base for the peanut butter.
Ah, oatmeal. Yeah.
Did I grab oatmeal instead of peanut butter? I think I did.
It's oatmeal. It's classic.
This is Mel's favorite beer. That's why it wins. Is that true?
It is my favorite Bravis, yes. And it is one of my all-time favorite NAs. I do often tell people it was my first favorite NA. Back 4 or 5 years ago, 5, 6 years ago.
And I think
we love our stouts. Hard to beat our stouts. One of the most hardware for them, and they're the most complex. Take the most amount of grain. Eight different, one base grain, seven specialty to create oatmeal stout. But love that beer. We don't. It's sunsetted now. Unfortunately, we. It's hard to pick your favorite baby, and that was it. But as we move forward, everyone seems to come out with a stout on the shelf now, so we have to pivot. And so we use that now as a base for our peanut butter stout.
Good.
It's a beautiful beer.
It is a beautiful beer. So much so, I think I'll have another sip.
Oh, and Bravis's oatmeal was on my first Dry January pop-up launching event menu, January 2020.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the thing, I one of my jobs is going into bars and sampling wares with decision makers. And the peanut butter variation, eye-opening, straight across the board. Not one person took a sip of that and said, yuck. Or this isn't beer, or this doesn't taste amazing, or just immediate reaction.
I can't imagine anybody, and I'm not a beer connoisseur, but all this stuff, I mean, how anybody could even think of saying, I would be all in on this, because there's many people that want beer, there's somebody that's trying to get away from it, or really just doesn't have a taste for it. You know what I mean? Some people just don't have a taste for beer.
But as I said, leading off the program, this is the drunkest city in Pennsylvania, and I'm rolling in with non-alcoholic beer to these people.
But we're also a city with some of the forerunning non-alc, movers and shakers. And I'm not just talking about myself, but there was somebody else who was doing pop-up non-alc sober events before I started, who was here, that's not happening anymore. She moved, but she was one of the first ones who was doing like a regularly occurring, sober, non-alc oriented events at the time. So
good.
Some credit for Pittsburgh.
Lots of
for
credit.
NA.
Well, it's a little bit of a reaction. Nothing but mad credit, especially in the face of what recent determinations are in terms of the city, that we can have a peanut butter porter or peanut butter dark that doesn't have alcohol in it, and people who serve alcohol for a living are still amazed by it.
Yeah,
Phil,
absolutely.
Let me just get one question, then I'll turn it back to Gene for the final few minutes. I got to believe that you have first-timers that become lifers. I mean, the generations are coming up that this is how they start, this is their experience, and they never go back or they never start anything but what you provide them with this incredible brand.
Yeah, great, great point, Rob. Not just our brand, but switching to non-alc in general, we saw last Dry January more people than ever who started out with Dry January, taking a break, actually stuck with it for the entire year. Absolutely, good point. They do become lifers, and look, the kids, as they say, aren't drinking as much as they used to or at all these days. And so, I think for us, we had to make things just super flavorful and approachable. And look, they're doing other things. We won't talk about that, but they certainly are drinking. And so, and they, a lot of the younger, like really younger ones, I mean, you know, of drinking age, never started with craft beer. They went right to the, you know, the Trulies and the White Claws of the world, the kombuchas. And so, you know, for us, we had to, again, make things taste really good. That's what they want. They want flavor. They want better for you. And that's kind of where we headed. Hmm.
So is it just a production facility in Anaheim, or do you have like a tap room, like a pub?
So yes, we do actually. We when we took over the facility, there was an incumbent alcoholic brewery, and we made a deal. We actually rented or subleased most of the tap room back to them, and took a section for our own needs. And it's great because look, people who don't drink, it's rare that they all just don't drink in a group, right? There's always someone that drinks and doesn't drink. And so, you know, the buzzword now is inclusivity. And so when a group comes in, we have a little bit of each for everyone.
Nice.
That's great.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that we're using technology. We're coming out with some great NA wines, some spirits, RTDs. I think at that point we will open up the tap room, at least the side that we have, into a fully staffed sort of destination for all things NA.
Yeah, and that you were answering the question I was about to ask is like, what's in the future? What's on the horizon for you guys?
Yep. So we have this brand coming out, which actually just got into Walmart with it. It's called Wino, wow. Wine Zero. If you get the pun of a drunk bum. So in a can, it's sort of like, I call it the middle finger to wine. It's not really, but it's in a can. It's not alcoholic. It's half a bottle per 12-ounce can. So you don't have to commit to an entire bottle. Lightweight, easy to drink. And again, the first non-alc wine, I think, that is not de-alkalized, which again, just don't really believe in it. So we ferment it. It's all made here in the facility. We don't have a vineyard yet, maybe one day, but we source our grapes from Central Valley here in California. And it's dry. It's got astringency. It's got some bitterness. It doesn't taste like your kid's grape juice, like a lot of them do. And, coming up with some spirits. We already won a couple awards, international awards, for some test batches of our tequila under a brand called Phil and Good. If you get that, again, we love our puns around here, Phil and Good. And, excited for this year with NA.
I've been out-punned. Normally, that's my task. So, we're wrapping it up. Happy dry January. I'd like to thank Mel Babbitts. I'd like to thank Philip Brandis from Bravis Brewing Company in Anaheim, California. Sun's still up over there. It's dark here. But we can all drive home safely.
And have one more for the road.
And have multiple more for the road. Maybe on the road.
You're not getting out of here with that stuff. That stuff's staying right here.
Thanks a lot, Philip. Thank you very much. And cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
Cheers.
You know, Walmart, big fan. And I know a lot of people have gotten product in there. You got to be doing something right. So he's doing something right.
Yeah. Hey, once again, it's another In the Beer Garden. This time, a totally sober In the Beer Garden. Gene Rubnicki, Vicini Distributing Company Beer since 1933. I'd like to thank Mel, even yet still, one more time.
Hey.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on your success. Much more success.
Thank you so much.
As Billy Joel once said, and we're living here in Allentown.
Exactly. The other one.
I had to get it in once. Gene, much love. See you next month.
Night. Thank you.